Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And hey, folks, it is always a beautiful Monday. Anytime I can open up the show during the NFL year on a Monday and say the Detroit Lions won. Yes, they won. They got a dub. They snapped an 11-game losing streak and beat the Arizona Cardinals on the road yesterday. Always a good day when I can say that, right? Because this franchise is known for losing, and yes, I will be the first to admit that I was totally wrong about this team heading into that matchup. I saw no life. No life whatsoever throughout the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. But Detroit finally got a win. And how long will they ride high as they have one more game left until, they play, one more game left until they hit the bye. They will play the New Orleans Saints this Sunday. But they started off the year losing to the Bears and the Packers, but they get that first win of the season against Arizona, a team that, if you remember, to open up last season, both of those teams tied. So, of course, we'll talk about how the Lions were able to do this. What does this now mean for the job status of head coach Matt Patricia? Does this save him at least until the end of this year? Does that now mean that, I think my prediction is now going out the window of possibly seeing a firing of Matt Patricia during the NFL year? I'm going to dive into all of that, folks. But again, enjoy this, Lions fans, because it's not often that you can begin your week with a smile on your face after watching a Detroit Lions game just 24 hours ago, in which they get a win. Pretty wild, I must say. I also want to take a broader look at the NFL in Week 3. A lot of great storylines, folks. I've got a lot of takeaways. A lot of things I want to touch upon, such as the outstanding play of Russell Wilson, who may be the NFL's MVP right now through 3 weeks. He handed my beloved Dallas Cowboys an L yesterday, and he was superb. Superb. How about the quarterback situation out in Chicago? Mitch Trubisky getting benched in favor of former Michigan State quarterback Nick Foles. Oh boy, the Falcons. The Falcons. That's right. The Falcons of Atlanta becoming the laughingstock of the National Football League. Ben Roethlisberger turning back the clock and playing like old Big Ben. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. I mean, so much to talk about. So much to talk about. So I'm going to have a few takeaways when it comes to what we've seen so far throughout 3 weeks of the NFL year. And I'm going to touch upon the NBA. We now know who will be competing for the Larry O. LA and Miami, folks. The Lakers and the Heat. Can LeBron James get another ring? I'll touch on that and so much more, all right? You guys know that you can be a part of the hour by doing just a few simple things. You can weigh in via social media. Leave us a comment at our Facebook page, facebook.com/WKAR News. Comment anywhere there on our Facebook page. You can also weigh in via Twitter. You can tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. You can tweet the show at WKAR News. And you can still call into the show. Again, you may not be able to talk to me live, but you can weigh in by leaving us a voicemail at our usual call-in number, 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Monday, September 28th. All right, I first want to start by giving you guys a week two high school football roundup centered on those schools, of course, competing here in the mid-Michigan area. On Friday, we saw Williamston top St. John's 23-13. Williamston now sitting at 2-0, and St. John's now falls to 0-2 on the year. Fowlerville beating Hazlitt in a very tight one, 23-21, as the Gladiators scored late in the fourth quarter to push them to a CAAC red win over Hazlitt. Hazlitt falling to 0-2, Fowlerville sitting at 1-1. Mason beat Eaton Rapids 34-3. Mason sitting at 2-0, Eaton Rapids 0-2. Lansing Catholic over Ionia, 42-3. Joey Baker threw 6 touchdown passes along with his 332 yards through the air to lead the Cougars to a victory over the Bulldogs. Holt beating Waverly, 20-14. Aiden Vandervoort rushed for 2 scores, and Bryce Cornelius added a rushing touchdown for Holt, which held on late for a CAAC blue win over the Warriors, who are 1-1. The Rams sitting at 1-0 in their opening win. Pawamo Westphalia shut out Powderville 49-0. P-Dub at 2-0. The Vikings are now 0-2. St. Joseph beating Okemos 34-13, as Okemos now falls to 0-2. Leslie over Stockbridge 35-14, as Leslie looks at a record of 1-1 now, and the Panthers are also 1-1. Langsburg over Saranac 49-19, as now both of those squads are 1-1 on the season. Portland shutting out Charlotte 33-0. The Raiders are now 1-1 on the year. Also, Charlotte sitting at 1-1 now. Bath beat Fulton 36-22. The Bees are 1-1. Fulton falls, though, to 0-2, still seeking that first win of the year. Olivet shutting out Perry 58-0. Perry 0-2. Olivet now 2-0. Corunna over Clio 55-14. The Cavaliers sitting at 1-1 on the season. Ithaca, 39. Bullock Creek, 34. Tight one there, as the Yellow Jackets sit at a perfect 2-0 on the young season. Fowlerville over Dansville, 35-14. The Aggies at 1-1. Fowler sitting at 2-0 now with that win. Ovid Elsie shutting out Lakeville Memorial, 19-0. The Marauders at 1-1 on the season. Portland St. Pat over Vesterburg, 46-18, the final there. The Shamrocks at 2-0 on the season now. Maple Valley over Gobbles, 44-8. Maple Valley at 1-1. We also saw Morris over New Haven Merritt Academy, 59-0. Lake Fenton over Owosso, 45-6. Freeland over Alma, 14-10. And Madison Heights Bishop Folly over Lakewood, 21-6. That will do it for your Week 2 High School Football Roundup. Some really interesting outcomes, right? Williamston grinding it over St. John's there in Fowlerville, rallying past Hazlitt. You know, a lot of teams still undefeated here in our area. Okay, now on to your Detroit Lions. Matt Prater has been one of the most clutch kickers in the NFL for most of his career, and even though he had long misses in each of his first two games, the Detroit Lions really had no qualms with putting their game against the Arizona Cardinals on his leg on Sunday, as Prater made a 39-yard field goal as time expired to lift the Lions to their first win of the season, 26-23 the final, over the previously unbeaten Cardinals at State Farm Stadium. The win snaps an 11-game Lions losing streak dating back to last season. The Lions, at 1-2 now, got their best defensive effort of the young season on Sunday, intercepting three Kyler Murray passes and getting a key stop in the game's final minutes. Kenny Golladay making his season debut after missing the first 2 weeks with a hamstring injury. He finished with a team-high 6 catches from Matthew Stafford for 57 yards and a touchdown. Speaking of Stafford, he finished 22 of 31 for 270 yards, 2 touchdowns. AP, Adrian Peterson, also added 75 yards on 22 carries on the ground, and the Lions had their first multiple interception game since Week 17, 3 years ago, back during the 2017 season. How about that? So the Lions get the win, and anytime you can get a win in the NFL year, on the NFL calendar, that is nothing to just look at and overlook. A win is a win, folks, and the Lions got a win. I'll put in perspective, though, what it means for the Lions season and the coaching tenure of Matt Patricia now moving forward. Terry Bradshaw, he did not hold back when it came to the Detroit Lions on Fox NFL Sunday yesterday morning. Excuse me, as Bradshaw, he outright called for the firing of Lions coach Matt Patricia and general manager Bob Quinn. Bradshaw, he did not take it easy on the Lions. He went harder after speaking with noted Michigan native, Lions fan, and actor Jeff Daniels. Bradshaw, being the four-time Super Bowl champion that he is, he has hosted the network's pregame show since 94. This is what Bradshaw had to say. Quote, "There will be changes made. I think Bob Quinn and the general manager should be fired. The head coach has to go. If not during the season, then after it. I remember going into Pittsburgh in 70. Joe Green was drafted number one in the first round the year before. He was the foundation for that franchise. They made it right off the bat. It was Joe Green that got it started, and the winning started, and all of a sudden the attitude changed. A losing franchise in the 50s and 60s, and the Steelers turned it around. The Lions can do that, but they've got to get the right people. You look at Calvin Johnson, left early. Why? He wanted to. Look at Barry Sanders. Left early. Why? He wanted to. He wanted out of that losing. You've got to change everything inside, and it starts with the owners making the right decision with the general manager and a head coach, and don't go to New England. The only one up there that can coach is Bill Belichick. Again, that coming from the mouth of Terry Bradshaw during yesterday's morning NFL on Fox NFL Sunday pregame show. And look, point out the lie there, please. Point out the lie. I can't argue with anything that Terry Bradshaw has to say. And look, we've been saying it for a while now. You know, it's just interesting now that national headlines and national broadcasters and former players are really seeing what we've been talking about for a while. Okay, more on the Detroit Lions in just a moment. The Detroit Tigers were upended by two homers allowed by Scooble in his five-inning outing, losing 3-1 to the Kansas City Royals on Sunday at Kauffman Stadium. The final out came on Nico Goodrum's strikeout against Royals closer Jesse Hahn. Detroit scored its only run on Brandon Dixon's two-out double off in the center field wall in the first inning. He drove in rookie Daz Cameron, who reached on a fielder's choice. Yet the Tigers still disintegrated at the end of the year, losing 19 of their last 25 games to miss the expanded playoffs, finishing in last place of the AL Central for the fourth time in 6 years. So the Tigers end the year 23-35, missed the playoffs. We kind of expected that, though, right? Young team, got to figure things out in the future. I don't expect this team to really get back to some kind of competitiveness until like 2 years from now, folks. I mean, I'm looking at the year, you know, 2023, to be honest with you. So there you have that, though. No more Tigers baseball. That's done. All right, and a quick update concerning the NBA and the NHL playoffs. Yesterday, we saw the Miami Heat beat the Boston Celtics 125-113. How about Coach Spo? Eric Spoelstra of the Miami Heat leading the Heat to now a dance, a tango, against LeBron James, former Miami Heat star LeBron James, and the LA Lakers now. Heat and Lakers, that's how your finals look. And the finals will begin on Wednesday night at 9 p.m. on ABC. And I must say, you know, speaking of Coach Spo, I mean, you see a lot of coaches who have been blessed with big-time NBA talent. After that big-time NBA talent leaves the franchise, they just completely fold, right? But Eric Spoelstra has proven his worth in the NBA. Since LeBron James has left, he has still found a way to make the Miami Heat competitive and to get his players to buy into a system that is clearly working. So, congratulations to the Miami Heat taking on the NBA championship favorite, LA Lakers. Should be a fun series. I'm hoping for a fun series. I still think the Lakers are going to win this thing, but I'm not going to say a sweep or a gentleman sweep at five games. I think this thing will go to six, but the Lakers will still pull it out. But hey, crazier things have happened. We'll see what happens, all right? So Heat and Lakers. On the flip side, in the NHL, you've got the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Dallas Stars going at it. Tampa Bay leads that series 3-2, just needs one more win to close that thing out in the Stanley Cup Final, and they can possibly close it out tonight at 8 p.m. on NBC. That's right, Game 6, Lightning Stars. Stanley Cup Finals, gotta love it. All right, folks, that will do it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, multiple ways in which you can be a part of the hour. pick up the phone and leave us a voicemail at 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment anywhere there on our Facebook page, and you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk about that Detroit Lions win over the Arizona Cardinals, a win that many didn't see coming, a win that has garnered some mixed reactions from Detroit Lions fans everywhere, which I'll explain. That and more, folks. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and I want to start here, folks. Detroit Lions fans, you should feel happy today. Just because the simple fact, and look, I get it. There are many Detroit Lions fans out there that just want to see the house burn. For the simple fact that If the house does burn, it almost guarantees that there will be major, drastic change at some point, either this season or in the offseason, for this horrible franchise. If the house burns and the Lions stack up as many losses as possible, you know, maybe finish with like a 3-game win season like they did last year. Again, it almost guarantees that Matt Patricia won't be back, and possibly Bob Quinn as well. But at the end of the day, you are a fan. You are a fan, and you are a diehard fan. And any time that you can celebrate the Monday after a Lions win, that's a rare thing. Do it. Okay? 26-23 over the Arizona Cardinals. Earning that win in convincing fashion, you pick off one of the league's best young quarterback talents in Kyler Murray, not one, not two, but three times. Solid overall game. I can't really complain much about what we saw yesterday. I don't know. If I'm really looking at it, though, I'll just bring up two things, okay? I just can't. It would bother me if I just, you know, moved on from there. Jeff Okudah, the rookie corner, I criticized him last week after the loss to the Green Bay Packers due to the fact that when you look at the history of corners who are taken high in the NFL draft, you pretty much know just how good that cornerback is going to be based off of those first couple of games. You either start off hot and you've got a good feel for that next level and you turn into a solid defensive player, or if you struggle pretty much your entire career. And Jeff Okudah had another rough day. The rookie corner from Ohio State. I mean, and look, he is thrown right into the fire, but you are going to be thrown into the fire any NFL game. I mean, it's the NFL, and you're a corner. I mean, you're going to be on an island multiple times throughout that game. He struggled to shut down the competition. This week, he took on one of the best wide receivers in the game of football, former Houston Texans great. Now with the Cardinals, giving Kyler Murray another toy to play with on that offense. He took on D-Hop, DeAndre Hopkins. Overmatched for the most part. He did make, though, a crucial play in that second half. Hopkins did end the game with 10 catches for 137. And much of that came on the side of the field where Okuda almost exclusively plays. Andy Isabella gave the corner a bit of trouble early on as well. Okuda still looked like he was a little slow to react in a lot of plays. He's got some issues tackling as well. And that one big play, Kyler Murray put a pass behind D-Hop, and Okuda was able to jump the route and snag the INT, getting the offense the ball back. But overall, not a very impressive performance overall for Jeff Okuda, even though he did step up when it mattered. And the pass rush. That's a storyline that really has dominated this franchise over the past few years. The inability of the Detroit Lions to get a pass rush has led to many, many losses. But Detroit finally was able to send some extra pass rushers, and it paid off. It really did. You know, an early interception was forced by a blitz from Jamie Collins up the middle. Safety Tracy Walker made his presence known in the Cardinals' backfield. The Lions finally drew up plays that sent an extra wave of rushers. And it made Kyler Murray uncomfortable and forced him to try to put the football where it just couldn't go. Couldn't go. You know, I want to give a shout out to Romeo Okwara. I thought he had a great game. He gave Murray a lot of trouble off the edge. It was impressive to see him get off the line and get physical and get right to Murray. That helped. It helps when you can put pressure on a dynamic quarterback such as a Kyler Murray. I mean, heck, we saw it. I saw it yesterday during that Lions game, and as I was flipping back and forth watching my Dallas Cowboys take on Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks as well. You know, the key as to, you know, even though Russ did throw 5 touchdown passes and was still unbelievable, but the reason my Cowboys were able to keep that game close is because they made Russell Wilson uncomfortable in the pocket by getting him to step off his spot and getting a good pass rush and blitzing him from time to time. You got to have that, and it just hasn't existed for the Detroit Lions in so long. I was very surprised to see it yesterday. So that was a pleasant surprise as well. So now we ask the question, now we dive into things. I want to know how Detroit Lions fans are feeling after a performance like that, because you could feel one of two ways. Again, I'm sure all Lions fans celebrated yesterday. Because when you snap an 11-game win streak, when your beloved franchise snaps an 11-game losing streak, I mean, you got to celebrate. It would be a crime not to. But on the flip side of that, after that initial celebration of I'm hoping only like 5 minutes, looking forward, you got to ask yourself, what does this mean now for your franchise? Does this now buy Matt Patricia at least the entirety of this season? Does this now buy him a job until that final Detroit Lions game is played this year instead of getting fired in the middle of the season? And I think it does. I think it does. And with me saying that, that's a negative thing, isn't it? We all know Matt Patricia is not the right man for the job. And that's why getting a win like the Lions did yesterday, it really does nothing to help, because we know the Lions aren't going to make the playoffs. This team does not have the talent. It does not have the depth. It's poorly mismanaged. We know the Lions aren't going to do anything this season. But when you get a win like that against a very talented Arizona Cardinals team, it like convinces, you know, it's the banana in the tailpipe. It's Lucy and Charlie Brown. It's like you, it gives you this glimmer of hope for just 1 week that, okay, maybe there's something there when there really isn't. False hope, folks. Smoke and mirrors. And it shows everyone that, okay, maybe the Lions aren't totally hopeless, I guess. So Sheila Ford Hamp, I think it will probably give Patricia the benefit of the doubt for the rest of the season. And how do the Lions pull off of a win like this after looking so bad the first two games? Well, you know, I think entering a game like this, you know, it helps sometimes when you can just play carefree, if you will, with nothing really to lose. When you have that mindset, which I think the Detroit Lions had entering that game against Arizona, starting the year 0-2, hearing the local and now national chatter about how bad your franchise is, about how Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn are on the hot seat, how you guys are a laughingstock. Again, I just read to you how Terry Bradshaw, former NFL great, NFL Hall of Famer, and of course a part of that broadcast crew of the NFL on Fox every Sunday morning, how Terry Bradshaw chewed into how poorly managed this team is from the standpoint of Patricia and Quinn. I mean, you're making national headlines. I mean, that those kind of things add up to a mindset of, okay, we have nothing to lose here. We have everything to prove, nothing to lose. So let's go out here, let our hair down, and just play. Instead of, I think maybe this team was so uptight entering the year because there's so many question marks. You know, how healthy is Matthew Stafford? Can Matt Patricia finally get this, you know, this team to start winning games? You're so uptight, you start thinking too much. I think they played so loose, so carefree, that it allowed them to just go out there and not overthink and just do their jobs. And that's what we saw. But what is their true potential now? I don't know. I don't think it's a lot. You know, Matthew Stafford played great. Gotta give credit to Stafford for this. I mean, when you look at his tenure as the man behind center for the Honolulu Blue, he'll go down as the greatest Detroit Lions quarterback to ever play. Matthew Stafford, if you give him the ball, game on the line, 2 minutes left to play, he is so good at the two-minute drill. It's impressive. He is going to give your team a shot to win or to tie with the game on the line. He has shown that throughout his career. I mentioned last week how, 3 years ago, we saw Matthew Stafford and the Lions dubbed as the Cardiac Cats because they were coming back and winning games in the fourth quarter with just minutes left to play. I mean, it was truly incredible watching them, and a lot of that because of Matthew Stafford and his ability in those moments to just focus in and deliver great throws. And that's what happened yesterday. Game on the line. You know, 2 minutes, 90 seconds left. Matthew Stafford orchestrated a great, great drive, put the ball on the money numerous times, and the Lions won the game. I mean, heck, even in week one against the Chicago Bears, Matthew Stafford was still able to find DeAndre Swift, even though he dropped the ball, but Matthew Stafford, again, putting his team in a position, some kind of position to win. Matthew Stafford had a QB rating of, I believe, 119. That was his passer rating. Two touchdowns. Completed 71% of his passes. But if you watched that entire game, you saw that there were some throws that, okay, Matthew Stafford just missed. Easy throws. He threw behind Danny Amendola. Missed receivers in the end zone twice on one drive. That resulted in a field goal. Then mentioning, you know, Swift and Okuda. They show promise, remain shaky. I don't know. If Stafford can get dialed in a little more, and if those rookies can improve, get better quickly, they can grow up quickly, then maybe we see a few more wins for the Detroit Lions, but this is going to be a team that struggles, though. I mean, it's going to be a roller coaster of a season. They will play the New Orleans Saints on Sunday, as I mentioned. And this is a Saints team that is always in the conversation of competing for a Super Bowl. And the Saints lost by just by a touchdown against the undefeated Green Bay Packers. How about that? So the Saints have the same record as the Lions right now. The Saints have gotten their lone win of the season in week one against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That was a 34-23 victory. The Saints then lost to the Las Vegas Raiders by 10. And then again, yesterday they fell to the Green Bay Packers. So somebody will move to 2-2 and somebody will move to 1-3 this Sunday. So we'll see what happens, but you know, the Lions' potential, I don't think is very high, and please, Lions fans, my opinion, just don't get fooled by this win. Don't get fooled by it. Matt Patricia still has to go. Bob Quinn still has to go. Don't fall for it, all right? Okay, what I want to do right now is hit our final break, and I want to take a broader look at the NFL Week 3. Tonight, big night. I can't wait. Get your popcorn ready for tonight, folks. Because we've got arguably two of the most entertaining quarterbacks in the game of football today. Patrick Mahomes against Lamar Jackson. Yes, the two Madden covers of Madden 20 and Madden 21. Going at it on Monday Night Football. I will be totally zoned in for that one, folks. But you know, before I preview that game and give you my thoughts and predictions, I want to look at what we saw on Sunday and what we've seen in week three of the NFL year thus far. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just gave my thoughts on the Detroit Lions beating the Arizona Cardinals yesterday. And simple message, don't fall for it. This team is still not a great team. Matt Patricia still has to go. Bob Quinn still has to go. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it, folks. Good win. Celebrate the win, folks, because, again, that win over the Cardinals snapped an 11-game losing streak for the Lions, and you get it against a very talented young team and against one of the most talented young quarterbacks in the game today in Kyler Murray. So celebrate it. But the Lions will they'll move back to earth very, very soon come this Sunday against Drew Brees and the Saints, all right? Looking around the league, though, wow, Josh Allen, how about the Buffalo Bills? They get a 35-32 win over the LA Rams. But You know, this game was not that close at first. I mean, Allen and the Bills had a 28-3 lead, only to have the Rams storm all the way back to actually lead that game 32-28. I mean, it was insane watching that thing. But the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen are a very impressive team. That's one of my biggest takeaways of not just week three, but of the NFL year thus far. I mean, the way Josh Allen is playing, he's got such a strong arm. He is a big quarterback. He can beat you out the pocket as well by getting out and using his legs. He's tough to get down. But he has such a strong arm. He is so smart to be such a young quarterback. He's got a great feel for the game. And, you know, you look at that game-winning drive, 11 plays, 75 yards, took about, you know, 4 minutes off the clock. But you know, again, he is still young. And there were some plays there that you look at and say, okay, Josh, you got to throw the ball away. Or hey, Josh, you could have delivered that ball better there. You know, he took a sack, completed a 22-yard pass on 3rd and 22, misguided an attempt at a lateral that bounced out of bounds, was called for a 15-yard face mask while trying to avoid a sack, right when the Bills could at least afford to lose 15 yards. He then completed a 17-yard pass on 3rd and 25. That set up a 4th and 8 that fell incomplete but resulted in a first down due to an iffy pass interference call. And then he found Tyler Croft for a touchdown with 15 seconds to go, and that was that. Wild drive, right? Crazy, crazy drive. But this young man has plenty of promise. Plenty of promise mixed in with chaos. At the end of the day, a win is a win, and the Bills are 3-0, all alone in first place in the AFC East. Shout out to Josh Allen. Russell Wilson, he's leading the MVP chatter right now, isn't he? And isn't it crazy? You know, Russell Wilson, I didn't know this until I'm watching the game yesterday and they mentioned this on the broadcast. I could have swore he's got an MVP under his belt. But Russell Wilson, he's never won a league MVP. Isn't that wild? I mean, one of the most consistent NFL quarterbacks since he entered the league. And I believe, 2012, he still has not won a league MVP. That blows my mind. But he just keeps making his case for this season. You know, his numbers are crazy. He threw for 315 and 5 more touchdowns in that 38-31 win against my Cowboys. And, you know, he might have had another TD pass had DK Metcalf not pulled a Leon Lett in the first quarter. I mean, my goodness. I mean, he was about to cross the goal line, and then Diggs comes out of nowhere and punches the ball out right before he crosses the goal line. That was a walk-in touchdown. Take note, young football fans, young football players out there, I should say. Finish the play. Finish the play. But he marched the Seahawks 75 yards on 8 plays in just, 2 minutes and 12 seconds on the game-winning drive. That included a clutch completion to Greg Olsen on 4th and 3. I couldn't believe my Cowboys didn't defend Greg Olsen on that play. But the Seahawks are at Miami next. And then that's before heading back home to face the winless Minnesota Vikings, and then they hit the bye week. At the level, Wilson is playing, there's no telling how many touchdown passes he'll have by then, by the bye week. Unbelievable. You know what also is unbelievable? The play of the Atlanta Falcons. Got a feel for Falcons fans out there. Gotta feel for them. The Falcons blew a 16-point lead against the Chicago Bears in the final 6:30. Just 1 week after blowing that 20-point lead against my Dallas Cowboys, which featured a curling routine on an onside kick. Still had an amazement of how that onside kick went for my Cowboys. And for those keeping score at home, that's back-to-back losses despite having a win probability of greater than 98%. How insane is that? Back-to-back losses despite having a win probability of 98%, greater than 98% in the fourth quarter of both games. Wow. Mm-mm-mm. Also, oh, Chicago. Chi-town, Chi-town, Chi-town. Let's not overlook who that comeback Falcons lost came against. Yep. Bears quarterback Nick Foles. Not Mr. Trubisky. Nick Foles. Also former Michigan State quarterback Nick Foles. Foles has bounced around the league five teams in nine NFL seasons, but you know he also famously beat Tom Brady to win a Super Bowl in one of his two stops with the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, that was 3 years ago, two teams ago. Chicago traded for Foles in the offseason. That was an insurance policy for Mitch Trubisky, who was on the hot seat, and his role as a backup for Foles, that lasted for exactly 2.5 games. Until they benched Trubisky. He gave us that sad look on the sidelines, just trying to figure out life. You can see it in his eyes. And Nick Foles, all he does is go in there and throws for three touchdowns and an INT, and it was enough. How about that? So, you know, the Bears, they declined to pick up Trubisky's fifth-year option for 2021. So he'll likely be playing somewhere else next season. And I can't see the Bears. Let me see what the Bears play. The Bears will play. Let's see here as I bring it up. They will play the Indianapolis Colts this Sunday. When the Bears play the Colts, I can't see Mitch Trubisky still being the starter here. Just won't make any sense. And also, big shout out to Pittsburgh. I really thought that Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans were going to win that game, but that Pittsburgh defense specifically is playing really, really well. Really, really well. The Texans only ran 14 plays during the entire second half. Can you believe that? Watson, who was 4 for 18 for 202 and two touchdowns, a passer rating of 150.5 in the first half, he was sacked on three of those plays. David Johnson ran the ball four times in the second half for a total of 3 yards. And Ben Roethlisberger is playing like the Big Ben of old. I mean, this is a guy who's in his mid-30s now, but still going out there and doing work. After spotting the Houston Texans a 21-17 halftime lead, the Steelers shut out their opponents and the Texans the rest of the way, allowing just 51 total yards and 2 first downs. And that's against Deshaun Watson, folks. Amazing. Amazing. Wow. So those are some of my big storylines after week 3. And you better believe I will be leading the show talking about the duel between Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. I'm really hoping it lives up to the hype. Two of the best, most entertaining young quarterbacks in the game of football today. We'll have more of that chatter on tomorrow's show. We'll also talk about Michigan State football putting on the helmet and the pads and getting down with some hitting. And we'll touch on some other storylines around the world of college football as well. But hey, look at there. We're out of time, folks. We'll see you on the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Be smart. Be safe. And as always, be easy, people.